I just wanted to just quickly look at a couple of these readings that we've had. And the first one was from Jeremiah, and it's the story of the potter. And it's telling us that God created each one of us, created you for a purpose, made you and formed you, and that doesn't just happen like just through DNA. It works also in the way that we're formed as people as we grow up and live our lives. And so God is the potter who shapes us and forms us. And, you know, in our world today, character is just such an important commodity in our lives. It's maybe your most important possession is your character. And when your character is rocked, you're rocked to the core. And I just give you, for example, Justin Trudeau and what's happened in his life in this past week, where his character was sort of put on trial and on show, and everybody's talking about his character. Character is an important thing. And as followers of Christ, we try to allow God to form us, to create us to be the people that he wanted us to be. And then the psalm just talks about the difference between what your life is like when you're following God and living out his purposes for you and when you're not. And it starts off, happy are they who haven't walked the wrong direction, done the wrong thing. And that's true for you and for me too, isn't it? Like as you live your life, as you do things, you know, we all make decisions every day. And the more that we try to make decisions that are be decisions that please God, decisions about the truth, decisions about honesty, decisions about how we treat one another, decisions to love one another. Some people say to me, well, you just fall in love. But love is a decision that you make. How you love people is up to you. And how you show that love is part of your character. And then these amazing words from Peter. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And you just thought you were getting up and coming to church this morning. But you're a holy nation. You're amazing. That's what he's saying. You're God's own special people. Probably sometimes you think, oh, I better not go to church today. I think God's mad at me. But, you know, you're special to him. No matter how you're sometimes feeling about yourself inside, God never stops loving you, that you may just sort of proclaim him and say how amazing he was. And he's called you into his marvelous light. And that's what discipleship is like. You know, Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he sees two guys. They're with their nets. They're casting their nets into the water. And he calls to them, and he says, you know, I'd like you to come and follow me. Come on, and I'll make you fishers of men. That was the first thing Jesus did in his ministry, was call disciples. And so you get the idea. This was primary importance to him, to call disciples. And you are called to be disciples too. And then he goes along a little farther, and he sees two guys with their dad, and they're in the boat getting their nets ready. And he calls to them, James and John, and he says, come on, follow me. And they leave their dad and their boat and their nets, and they come and follow him. If you were the dad, you'd be thinking, I'm not so sure about this. But they heard this call and they followed. And that's the beginning of discipleship for every one of us, that God calls you to leave something and to turn to something better. And we live our lives thinking, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to accomplish that. And Jesus says, you know what? You can do all those things and that's fine, but I want to call you to something even better. Later, he tells a story about how that works. He says, you know, there's a guy and he's in a field and he finds a treasure in the field. And he goes and he sells everything he's got. And he buys the field so that he can have that treasure, because he can tell this treasure is worth way more than the farming I'm doing. This treasure is everything. And that's what it's like when you turn from farming your own life to allowing God to be the influence in your life, just like the potter makes the pot and forms it and makes it wonderful, and that's God working in your life. That's what we turn to. We allow God to change us and to turn us into something that we never thought we could be. Things have happened in my life that I never, ever dreamed could happen. And it's because one day I made that decision. It's not I don't mean because I decided to be ordained. I mean because I made a decision that I was going to be a disciple. That I was going to be, another word for it is I'm going to be a Christian. Or a believer, or lots of different words you could use. But one of the words that Jesus used was, come and be my disciple. And he calls you to be his disciple. And it's life-changing. And as you follow him, the more you follow him, the more amazing your life becomes. The more you see, I didn't do God any favors saying, yeah, I'm going to come and follow you. Because at the beginning, that's what I thought. I thought I was doing God a big favor. But the more I lived my life, the more I realized, actually, you know, it was God doing me a favor. It was the most wonderful change in my life to allow God in. One of those practical ideas from Peter, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. One practical implication of that is, if you want to know Jesus, you know him through his word. You get an idea of what he wants to do in your life, to transform your life from ordinary into being a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And God's plan from the very beginning has been to make you like him. Do you ever think about that? That's what God is trying to do. You're made in his image. And God is trying to allow you to be behaving, be being in his image. So don't get me wrong. He's not saying you're going to become God or a God. You will never be God. And I certainly know I will never be God. God doesn't want you or me to become God. He wants you and me to become godly. He wants you to develop his character, to know the way he thinks, that you might think that way, the way he acts, that you might act that way, the way he feels, the way he values, that you might take on his moral character as part of your moral character. You'll never do it perfectly like he did, but wouldn't it be life-changing that day by day, each hour, we've started acting more and more like God? God wants you to make you like himself, to make you like Jesus. When you're first a disciple, you're like a baby who has to learn everything. And babies are beautiful. I've had 5 babies in our family. But if they don't grow up, it's tragic, isn't it? They need to grow up. They need to become mature. And God wants you and me to grow up too. Everyone grows older, but not everyone grows up. So remember this, your purpose in life is to worship God. We talked about that last week, because we can't do anything but worship God because he's so amazing, so awe-inspiring. But your purpose in life also is to become more and more like Christ. And to do that, you need to learn what he's like, what he thinks, what he desires. And it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't, you know, just, God, I want to be like you. Please grant this prayer. Amen. And he's faithful to acknowledging that prayer, but it doesn't happen like this, because we're human beings, and because all these other ideas come into our minds at times. It's going to take the rest of your life and the rest of my life for God to build the character in you, the character qualities of Jesus Christ. And that process is discipleship. That process is for everyone who wants to be a follower of Christ. It's for everyone who wants to call themselves a disciple, a Christian, a believer. How does God do it? How does God help me to grow spiritually, emotionally, intellectually? How does he make me more and more like Christ? Well, we're not going to go into all of the different ways this morning. You'll be glad to know, because otherwise we'd be here till 4 o'clock. And I have a wedding to do later this afternoon, so I can't do that today. But there's a couple of ways that we know right off the bat. First of all, he uses the Bible to teach us. And that's why it's so important that all of us read our Bibles. He uses the Bible. It takes truth to transform us. And if you really want to grow up spiritually, you have to get into God's Word. You have to study the Bible. And the more you get into it, the more you're going to grow, the more you need to read it and study it and memorize it and meditate on it and think about it and apply it to your life. It's like, I'm always in trouble when I get a new thing. I want to just take it out of the box and use it. And when my wife comes along later, she sort of sees me struggling with it, and she says, have you read the instructions? And I say, instructions? Instructions, Howard. And that's like you and me with knowing what God expects of us and God wants of us. Read the manufacturer's handbook. That's the Bible. Another way that helps us to mature is by getting involved with God's people. And next week, we're going to talk about fellowship and what that means and how it means that we're getting involved with one another, that we might get more and more involved with God. And we learn from each other, we grow, and we develop. And the more you get together with other people, the more spiritually mature you're going to be. God has other tools to teach us. He uses trouble and pain. Now, when I say trouble, you might be more familiar with the term trial. These are situations designed by God to teach us, not to harm us. The Bible tells us troubles produce patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope. God is always more interested in what you are, your character, than he is in what you do, your career. And sometimes, as he teaches us, it's painful. But I don't mean that God's out there poking you with a stick or something. But I go to the dentist. I was there on Monday. It was a good time, actually. But I have been to the dentist when I've had a cavity. And I've had to have a needle in there and drilling and all of this stuff happening. And sometimes it hurts. But I'm not mad at the dentist that he's torturing me. I'm glad to go through that pain that I might have a tooth that's going to be okay. That's what it's like with God when we go through painful times. God's not trying to torture you. God's not trying to harm you. God is trying to build your character that you might be more and more like Christ. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it hurts our egos. Sometimes it hurts our ideas of what we think life should all be about. And we learn painful lessons and we find out it's actually what God wants. It's actually about the potter forming us. And there's the idea also that we learn through friends. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." Distress and anguish came over him. And he said, "The sorrow in my heart is so great that it almost crushes me." Nobody's supposed to go through troubles in life all alone. Even Jesus needed his friends. And he said to his disciples, "Would you guys just hang out with me for a little bit while I go over there and pray?" And as he thought about what was ahead of him, his trouble, his stress, he was overcome with anguish. And he said, "The worry in my heart is so great that it almost crushes me." Most of you say, or I bet most of you would say, I know feelings like that. I've been through hard times. I know what it feels like to be in anguish when I felt like I couldn't make it through another day. Notice how Jesus responded to the trouble. "Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will, not mine." And there's a lot we can learn from that. when you go through trouble, it's okay to say, God, I don't like this. God, take this away from me. God, I know it's possible for you to take this away from me. Jesus said, I know everything is possible for you, God. Yet he was willing to trust God in everything. He said, I know you're with me, and even in this dark time, your will be done in my life. And he surrendered to God. Now here's the point. If you're going to develop the character of Jesus Christ, you've got to learn to trust God completely. Even when things look terrible, even when they're falling apart, when you're saying, I don't understand this. I'm dying. I'm sinking. I'm going underwater for the third time here, God. When you're going through difficult times and trials and troubles, here are some things that may help you to make sense of the journey and may help you to trust God. This will seem, seem new age or I don't know what, but it's old age actually, and that's keep a spiritual journal. This wasn't some new idea, that's what I thought, but it's not. When Moses was wandering through the wilderness for 40 years, remember your Old Testament, Moses wandering through the wilderness, God said to him in Numbers 33, at the Lord's direction, Moses kept a written record of their progress. Isn't that interesting? He kept this journal about how things were going and what they were learning and where God led them. A journal helps you to examine your feelings, your questions, what you've read in the Bible, how you've been praying, when you've noticed God's presence. Sometimes we forget that God has been very near to us at times. And it's good to be able to look back and remember, I remember that. I remember really feeling God close to me when I was lonely that time, when I felt my kids were going to drive me crazy, when any number of things. But just keep a journal. Another way to help you make sense of the journey is to remember the reward. As you go through troubles and trials, remember what Paul said. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. There's lots of other ways that we can learn to be like Jesus, that we can learn to live life well, that we can learn to overcome all that life has to throw to us by listening to Jesus and learning from him. And discipleship is the way that God has created for us. We, you and me, each one of us here, has been called by Christ. And Jesus is calling you again today to follow him. Jesus is standing before you, the living word, ready to teach you, encourage you, and to help you. And he's asking you to abide in his word. That's what our Bible reading said today. And then you'll truly be his disciple. And you're called to do the same for others, to help in this discipleship process with others that you know here in the church and outside of here too, to share his word, to learn directly from the creator of the universe. One of the ways that we try to do that at St. Michael's is through home groups and people getting together and reading the Bible and talking about their lives together. The Bible is the most important way of seeing and understanding what God is like, who Jesus is, how we can have the mind of Christ, the love of God, a godly character. The church is to be the center for discipleship. Maybe we shouldn't call it the church. Maybe we should say St. Michael's Discipleship Center, because that's part of what we're supposed to do here, be disciples together. When I was in the UK, there was a college, a very famous college called Jesus College. That's where you're at right now. You're in Jesus College to be learning from him, to be learning from one another, to be encouraging one another, just as he encourages you. How are you going to be a part of what God is teaching us today? How are you developing and growing in Christ? How is our church working to teach others of the love and life and nature of Christ? How are we teaching about God's power, his mercy, his grace, his love? How are we learning to live in a world that so desperately needs God's peace? And how are we teaching about that? we're going to be talking about this idea of discipleship at our parish retreat. We're going to be talking about how are we being disciples? How are we, what's our program for teaching people about Jesus and about God and about how he works and how he works in your life and my life? Do we have a plan for that? Because it's what we're called to be and to do. And so we're going to think a little bit about that, what it means for our church and what it means for each of us individually. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, life makes so much more sense when we realize that it's about character, about becoming like Jesus. We pray that you'll help us to use life for the reasons that you gave to us. Worship, discipleship, fellowship, ministry, telling others about you. Lord, I just want to grow in character. I want to become who you made me to be. Thank you for the example of Jesus. I want to become more like Jesus in the way that I think, in the way I feel and act. I pray that you'll help our church to become a teaching center so that we can all learn to love as you love and live life in generosity, courage, and strength. Amen.